Take your Bible this morning, if you will, back to the book of 1 Kings and back to chapter 14. I said, preacher, we ever going to get out of chapter 14? Probably sooner or later, all right? We will, but not this morning, all right? 1 Kings chapter 14, if you will. Look, if you will, in verse 7. I'll begin reading there. We'll read just three verses. And then I'll do my best to preach to you if I can stay here and stand here long enough to do it. Verse 7, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made the other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Now I want to preach to you this morning from these verses on the subject of Jeroboam's jaunt into sin. The word jaunt means a short journey made for pleasure. And I don't think you could describe Jeroboam's journey of life any more accurately than that way. That sums it up pretty accurately. It was a short trip. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. When anyone decides to slip into sin, it doesn't require a long-distance trip. Doesn't require a long distance trip. And in the book of Genesis, the Lord was talking to Cain and said, if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. Hey, it's just right there. It's not a long journey. David in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 3 said, there's but a step between me and death. Well, that's exactly how close sin is to you. It is not something you've got to make a long trip. It's never far from us. Not only was Jeroboam's drawn into sin a short trip, it was really also just for his pleasure. It was all about Jeroboam, as we'll see, if you will. First of all, I want you to see this. Jeroboam's jaunt was deliberate. Deliberate. Notice what was told there in verse 9. He said, but hast done evil. Done evil. Sometimes we like to make the claim that our sin isn't intentional. We try to gloss over it by saying, well, I made a mistake. Or I just made a poor choice, you know. We maybe try to lay it off as accidental, you know. But Jeroboam could not make that plea. No way under God's green earth. He thought it out before he did it, okay? He thought it out completely. Look back in 1 Kings chapter 12, would you? 1 Kings chapter 12, and look with me two verses, verse 26. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. See, Jeroboam realized, hey, you know, this thing of worship is important in our nation and the nation of Israel, and we've always gone up to Jerusalem or to Shiloh to worship there where the ark was. And so he was worried about that, even though God had told him, look, I'm going to rend the kingdom of Israel, and I'm going to give you the biggest chunk of it, and you'll be king over them. God had told him that and given him the opportunity even to establish his lineage and kingdom, all right? But Jeroboam got to sweating it. He thought, no, it's not going to work out that way. I've got a better plan. I've got an idea. So deliberately, he made the choice and the deliberate act to make two golden calves and set them up and tell his people to worship those folks, all right? Deliberate. Nothing accidental about it. Nothing accidental. Hey, in the Bible, deliberate sin is referred to as willful sin. Willful sin. It is an act of our will. Hebrews says if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Judgment. Willful sin. Deliberate. You say, oh, I didn't do that. You know, I don't want to admit that's deliberate. Yeah, but it is. Hey, can I say this to you? It was deliberate when you went to that pornographic site. That was willful sin. That was deliberate. It wasn't an accident. Nothing accidental about it. Now, I realize it is possible if you're on the internet that accidentally something can pop up, but it's no accident if you stay there. That's your choice. That's your choice. That act when you decided I'm going to get even with somebody for what they did to me, that wasn't an accident. That was deliberate. That was deliberate. Hey, when you went down and maybe underhandedly you pulled out some cash and laid it out and swapped it for that dope, that wasn't accidental. That's deliberate. That's deliberate. Hey, you cheat on your spouse. That's deliberate. Well, but, no buts. It's deliberate. I said, preacher, you think we're all guilty of that? I found out a long time ago, people do things you never think they would do. I'm not indicting you. I'm just preaching. I'm giving you what God's given me to give to you. Hey, all sin is not that way. All, you know, it's not that way. Hey, that just simple act of unkindness that you whipped on somebody was deliberate. I'm saying to you that sin is not accidental. And when we decide to go into sin, it's deliberate. It's a willful act that's committed on purpose. That was Jeroboam's sin. It was deliberate. But I want you to know this. His sin went into denial. It involved denial. Look, if you will, back in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 9. He said, thou hast gone and made the other gods and molten images. A denial. Hey, listen, Jeroboam did that right after God, the God of creation and the God of Israel, had spoken to him. It wasn't something that happened on the spur of the moment. Hey, God had just spoken to him recently, said, I'm giving you this kingdom, I'm letting you have it. And in an act of denial of God, denying that it was God that brought them out of Israel, Jeroboam made those images and then told the people of Israel, these are the gods that brought you out of Israel. That's a direct denial of God. Can I just say this to you? When you, me, or anybody else elevates anything above God in your life, you've truthfully denied the true God. You've denied Him. You've said, hey, He's not good enough for me. I need something more than that God. You elevate anything in your life above Him, you've denied the real true God. I don't care what it is you put above Him. Your personal choice, your personal pleasure, money. Well, we got a host of folks in our day worship cash. You do that, you've denied God. But wait a minute, I want to show you this. He went further than that. You back there in verse 9. He says, and has cast me behind thy back. Hey, he not only denied God, he disposed of God. cast me behind thy back. It wasn't enough for him to deny the true God. No, he got rid of the real thing in exchange for a God that could not hear and could not help. Disposed of God. You say, now, preacher, I may do some deliberate sin. And I may willfully do some things, but preacher, I'll never do that. I'm going to say this to you. People do it all the time. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? How in the world would I do that? You ever had God give you the opportunity to really stand up for Him? God ever given you the opportunity to really stand up for Him and to testify to what's right, to what's good? You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You had that chance. God presented it to you, but you were afraid somebody might think you were a fanatic. You had a fear of man. You thought it might cause you to lose some position. And that fear right there kept you from stepping up. And rather than give honor and glory to God and thanking Him and pointing people to Him, basically what you did in the common vernacular is you threw Him under the bus. Rather than standing for Him and rather than saying God did it and it was all the doing of God and it was all of His work, instead maybe you took credit yourself. You may think this is the dumbest example you've ever heard, but I have had for years what the doctors called eczema. I've been to several dermatologists. I even went to a deal one night where they had numerous dermatologists from Fort Worth come, and they put me in a room, and they all came by and examined, looked at me and asked questions. And the dermatologist I was going to asked if I would do that and be willing to do that because maybe somebody else could help. And by the time it got through, to make a long story short, it got to the point the last dermatologist I went to looked at me and said, I just want to be honest with you, I've done everything I can do. So I quit spending money on dermatologists. He said, what'd you do? I scratched because it itched. And my wife would say, would you quit scratching? I'd say, when it quits itching. Man, I mean, it was just atrocious. And I had it all over me, all right? And I don't know if it was all of a sudden or anything else, but it was gone. You say, preacher, what happened? I have no idea. The only thing I can figure is God said, you've had that long enough. Because, I mean, I've had it for years. Years, at least 40 years, I've been dealing with it. And it disappeared. Now, I would like to say, because I went to God and prayed and prayed and prayed and said, Lord, would you... But I didn't ask Him. But the only thing I can say is it had to been Him. Did you do anything different? No. Didn't do anything different. My wife told me, she said, well, you got rid of that, and now you got the problem you got now. I said, well, swap one for another. It's good I don't have both of them, you know. Hey, but boy, we get the chance to testify to the goodness of God, and we don't do it. We don't stand up for Him. I was listening the other, I guess it was last night, I was listening to Mike Ray. Mike Ray is a pastor out in California, and he grew up in the church in Louisiana, got saved, called to preach, and he's gone out there and preached for years, and he was talking about his dad. He said, my dad was a big old guy, about 5'4". And he said, me and my mom and my brothers were out at we were eating in this restaurant. And he said, there were six men over at this other table. And those six men got louder and louder, and they were using profanity. And he said, my dad got up, walked over and told him, he said, look, that's my family. And I'd appreciate it if you'd pipe down, you'd quit using that kind of language. And he said it and said, everybody in the restaurant, he said, man, it was tense in that restaurant. He said, I was a little boy thinking dad's fixing to get whipped. He sat down and we kept eating and they started up again and it got louder again and he got up again. And he went over there and he said, I said, that's my family. They don't need to hear that. You don't need to speak that way. He said, when he came back to the table, my dad was 10 foot tall as far as I was concerned. He gave credit to his dad. Hey, but when do we get the opportunity we give credit to God? We give credit to God. No, man, when God does great things, we kind of throw him under the bus. Or when we've got the chance to stand up and it's an awkward situation and we might feel threatened, and instead of standing up and giving a ringing testimony for the goodness of God, we throw him under the bus and we don't say a word. We dispose of God. We dispose of God. God's been good to you. God's kept you. God has preserved you. He's taken care of you through life. When's the last time you stood up and said that to people? When's the last time you honored him for what he did for you? Listen, we ought to be willing to do it. We take that John into sin. If we're not careful, we dispose of him. But I want to show you the last thing about Jeremiah's John into sin. Look, if you will, in verse 14 of 1 Kings chapter 14. The Bible says, moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king. Now, he's talking to Jeroboam. He said, the Lord's going to raise him up a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a sea, as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. Hey, Jeroboam's jaunt was deadly. Deadly. Now, if you're not familiar, we got into this, and I didn't mention it. All this message is being told to Jeroboam through his wife. God's given this message from the prophet of God to Jeroboam's wife to take back and tell her husband. Hey, it was death to the house of Jeroboam. You and I mistakenly get the idea that what I do only affects me. My friend, let me point out to you, your sin affects a whole lot more than just you. It goes way beyond you. Jeroboam, hey, it brought death to the house of Jeroboam. He could have established, if you will, a legacy. He could have left a dynasty, but it was not to be. The Bible said his house was cut off. Why? Because of his sin. Because of his sin. Well, wait a minute. It was death to the nation of Israel. You notice there, the end of verse 16, who made Israel to sin? It was his sin that made his nation to sin. The enemies of Israel, the Bible said, were going to root up Israel out of the land because Jeroboam made Israel to sin. We get the idea, nope, it's just my sin. No, it's not just your sin. I'll be honest with you, nothing kills a nation like turning from God. You check it out in history. Any nation that turns from God, it kills the nation. It kills the nation. Hey, it went beyond that. It cost the life of Jeroboam. Don't lose your place here, but go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 13, would you? 2 Chronicles chapter 13. So I want you to notice, here's what the Word of God says. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 20. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord struck him, and he died. He died. Hey, in the days of Abijah, it was Abijah that was giving this message to Jeroboam's wife. He never again recovered strength in the days of Abijah. And God killed him, took him out. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Hey, that's in the New Testament, but it is a doctrine that's clearly illustrated in the Old Testament. The wages of sin is death. It's always been death, and it'll always be death. The truth of the matter is, the reason that body you live in is dying is because you're a sinner. We live in a body that's tainted by sin. It's tainted by sin. You're dying. You're going to die. Why? Because of your sin. Can't be erased. You can't put it off. You can't do away with it. It's going to die because of your sin. The wages of sin is death. That's an eternal truth you and I cannot escape. You said, preacher, you telling me this morning that I'm going to die if I sin? I'm telling you, yep, you're going to die. Death will be the result. Can I point this out to you as a child of God? You have something that ought to be extremely valuable to you. Extremely valuable to you. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. That testimony is what other people think of you as a child of God. That's what they think of you as a child of God. You ought to value that testimony. You build it in a lifetime. You build it through your lifetime. By the life you live, what you do, and how you do it. How you live before others, and how you respect and honor and obey the Word of God, builds a testimony about you. Now, you may be sitting here this morning with a lousy testimony because you're a lousy Christian. That is a deliberate choice on your part. It's your choice. I got news for you. If you got a testimony, it ought to be one you value. You ought to care what other people think of you as a Christian. You ought to care. And I want you to realize that sin, it'll kill your testimony. It'll kill your testimony. And I've known Christians that kill their testimony in one day, in just a few short minutes, kill their testimony. I've known preachers that kill their testimony in just a few short moments of deliberate, willful sin. Hey, you can kill that testimony. I'll tell you this, believers can hasten death if they continue unrepentant. I believe that with all that's within me. You can hasten your own death. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament were believers, and their sin brought death. And God didn't mess around about that. It was pretty quick. Now, if you're living in sin this morning, you've got some sin in your life, you know it's there, it's deliberate and willful, and God hadn't killed you, you might want to hang in there, all right? You might want to decide to make it right. He's given you that opportunity to get right with Him. Because at any moment, payday could show up. You may have to pay. So I ask you this morning, what about you? Are you following in the steps of Jeroboam? Have you deliberately decided to do evil? You say, now, preacher, I never do anything evil. Wait a minute. When you disobey this book, you're doing evil. When you disobey this book, you're doing evil. Have you denied God His rightful place in your life? You denied him. Maybe you've gone past that. Maybe you've gone so far as to cast him behind you. And I just warn you this morning, death can be just around the corner. Would you take the opportunity God is giving you today to get right with him? Would you take that opportunity? I noticed this morning when I mentioned some specific sins, noticed it got awful quiet. And I can't help but wondering, God wasn't bringing conviction on some folks here. I don't know who it is. But God knows. And you know. You know what your life is. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you today to come and to trust him. I plead with you today to take him, to call upon him and ask him to save your soul. I plead with you not to let some Christian's lousy testimony make you think there's nothing to Christianity. Hey, can I challenge you, if you're lost, don't pick out the sorry Christian, pick out the better one. And say, hey, there's something real there. Would you take Christ? Christian, you're here. But you've decided to make a little jaunt, just a short journey into sin. God's given you the opportunity to get right with him right now. Would you do it today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning as needy folks. Lord, I pray if you're speaking to hearts today that folks would listen and they'd respond to the Word of God. Lord, they'd step out, they'd walk this aisle, they'd meet with you, they'd do business with you here at the altar. Lord, would you use this service for your honor and your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 401, Only Trust Him. Only trust him. Would you do that? Would you just trust him this morning? Would you come? God's dealing with you. Would you come while we sing? Come on. Come on.